We're going to examine how that applies to our lives today, both for comfort and strength and for conviction. In the scriptures, we find innumerable verses to this effect. But I'll take one verse and ask you to turn with me, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. Turn to the first book in the Bible, Genesis, please, chapter 17. Genesis 17. When Abraham, who was 99 years of age, was about to have a child, Abraham is the father of the faithful. And we come to the virgin birth today and think of that some too. But God always taught people the impossible things he could do by people, many times women bearing children when it was beyond all human comprehensions. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. That's your source. Walk before me. That's the process. Live in the light of this Almighty God. And be thou perfect and mature. That is the result. There is no such thing as the Almighty dollar. I once said that in a sermon, and some dear soul came up and corrected me and said, sir, there is no Almighty dollar. That is an attribute of God, and it does not belong to the dollar. Since that time, I said, thank you. I will talk about the mighty dollar, but not the Almighty dollar. To some people, it is a small a almighty dollar, for it is their God. But there is the only one almighty one, that is God, the Almighty God. And he had to believe this Almighty God was going to give him a child at age 99, when he considered himself as good as dead physically, as far as procreation and begetting goes. The first book in the Bible, walk before me, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, live it out before me. And dear ones, if you're here this morning, and let's not have the grasshopper complex. Moses sent several spies into Canaan to esteem the land and see how they could plan their game plan to take it. And everyone except two came back with the grasshopper complex. They said, these men are sons of Anak. They're great big people. They're taller than we are. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. And they should have walked in like they were walking in the presence of the Almighty. Giants fall as fast as midgets to God. That's why Goliath is in there. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And so God says, look, don't go around feeling that you're worth nothing. Go along realizing if you're born of God, you are a child of God. You live before the Almighty God, and walk into that classroom and walk out on that basketball floor and walk into that sales contact and live before your family so we have an Almighty God and not some kind of a little tribal deity that's put in a niche in the family room, and that's it. I'm so glad he said, walk before me. Didn't say cringe. Now, dear ones, turn to Revelation chapter 19, the last book in the Bible. God stitches the whole of scriptures with this fact. I am the Almighty. I am the Almighty. And he wants us to understand that. We have an Almighty God. We must learn how to walk in his ways. Teach me thy paths, O Lord. Revelation 19. Verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne of God, really, saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters. Have you ever been near a cataract, a great falls, maybe the Niagara, where the water was just pouring down? It was like a thunderous roar. And it says in Scripture, they all lifted up their voice with one accord. And it'd be nothing wrong for us to all be praying to the Lord Jesus at one time. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We haven't done it. And I've been in meetings where they have. And people just individually in English saying, Lord, bless you. Praise you. We thank you. And the voice of many waters. Many waters. And what does it say? The voice of many waters is the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The all-powerful God is in charge. Heavenly Father, take the fleeting, feeble, mortal words of a human being and make those which you wish to be immortal in the hearts of those who are here today. Grant, Lord, your own quickening, that there may be something said or done or sung or expressed that in this service will have touched the lives of us all. And Father, we thank thee that all of your word is calculated and given for the express purpose to produce immediate change and immediate obedience, which produces change beginning as of this moment. Change us, Lord. We would not be lazy recipients of the resurrection, but we would be eager to press in to be changed today with an attitude first, action second. Immediate obedience today, Lord, lest we find the grains of sand in our hourglass filtering out till there is none left too soon. Amen. I am the Lord God Almighty. Walk ye before me and be ye fully mature and perfect. We are in a power-conscious age. We all know that. You buy a car and they say, how much horsepower does it have? I wonder what they did when they bought a horse. Did they say, how much horsepower is in this horse? One horse. One horsepower horse. They rode around on him. My father used to preach in a little circuit, not so little circuit, up in northwestern Canada when he was 19, 20, 21 as a student preacher. He couldn't drive in an air-conditioned, steel-belted, seat safety car. He got on his horse. I forget the name of it. It almost comes to me now. Roddy. That was his horse. And he made his circuit every Sunday, three churches to preach at, and got lost one day up there in the western plains, and came to the fork in the road and slapped Roddy on the side of the neck and said, Roddy, go home. You take the way. And he put the reins back on the horse's neck and let the horse have his head, and he picked the right path. That may sound a little far-fetched, but Dave Garrels is out there in Dakota, and he has a CB in his van trying to find out where he's at. And so he says, you know, I don't know what his call name is, but he says, hey, I'm at State Road 43 in a cornfield out here. Anybody hear me? Come in and tell me where this farm is. They come back in, yeah, go down the next road, take a left and a right and a left. So my father didn't have CBs. All he had was Roddy and a slap on the neck. We're all interested in power. We want more power. We've got power mowers. A man will have a 40-foot lawn. He's got a driving mower driving 40 feet. You wonder what in the world he's doing on a 40-foot lawn with a power mower driving it around. Maybe he's hot rodding. We've even gotten to the point where we have power toothbrushes because it takes so much energy to go like this. We have to have power toothbrushes. We've just gone berserk, power toothbrushes. If we could just have some power, well, we'll let it go. We have some power toothbrushes. All right, we have power. Everything is power. We can no longer slice our turkey this way because of the motion. We have power turkey slicers. Just go like this now. I must confess I am a happy user of a borrowed hedge power clipper. You just go over your clippers like that. Remember back when you were a kid, they always used to go like this. The poor men, you see men out clipping their hedges. Now we have power mowers. You can just slice right on through, and it's lovely when they're borrowed. You just get the benefits. Russia's gone crazy. 40 and 50 megaton bombs. Power. Everybody wants power. And Job got a little excited one day, and poor man pressed out a measure. God had to make a first-hand appearance to him, and Job was kind of fretting about the universe, and God says, where were you, little man? Your mother ever say to you, little man, you've had a busy day? Remember that song? Little man, you've had a busy day. Remember? Way back when. Over 40. Again for you, little man. Yes, you remember it. All right. You've had a busy day. Yeah, I was about 6. Busy day playing cowboy, shot 19 Indians, been wounded 13 times myself that day in conflict. Tumble into bed, and your mother tousle your hair and kiss you goodnight and say, God loves you and leave you. It's a good way to go to bed, Mom. You tell the little kids that, Dad, you too. God said, little man Job, where were you when I set the bounds of the ocean? Go down there and see what you can do. Did you ever see an ocean gone wild? Ever see a tidal wave? Ever see a moon tide? Go down there and say, all right, everybody back where you belong. You're going to be drowned. Where were you, Job, when I led Arcturus, that great star, around the heavens? What can you do? Can you put a little thread in the nose of a hippopotamus and say, come along? Can you make it a little plaything?
can do.
God says, I am almighty. Now, again, we come to the amazing God of nature. Now, I believe the express purpose of nature was that God might leave his fingerprints all over this place. Oh, think of it, dear ones. Think of it. God packs into the atom such power that we now know of, the tiny little H atom, the hydrogen atom. If you took 250, if you took one atom of a hydrogen atom, and you had 250 million of them lined up, 250 million hydrogen atoms, it'd be 1 inch long. Now you take this glass of water, and I will. And you take one drop of water. Do you see that? Do you boys see that right down front? You see that drop of waterfall? You saw it, didn't you? I got a witness. That one drop of water, there were 100 billion, billion atoms. That's crowded. And if one of those atoms could be split, it was the equivalent of tons of TNT. You take the sun itself, that vast atomic furnace of light and energy, at any given moment, it's giving out 500 sextillion horsepower. Now, if you want to know what that's like, you put a 5 and you put 23 zeros. That's what God is like. That's the all-powerfulness of God. How do you build a furnace like that, anyway? How do you build a furnace like that? Burning at 11,000 degrees Fahrenheit. You can take the whole Earth and put it in one of the sunspots, which is an interesting feature. We put the Skylab up there. It weighs about 16,000 pounds, and God put the Earth up and weighs a great deal more. A great deal more. You know what's pretty big up there? If you could explore for 60 trillion miles around the sun, you would bump into just 7 stars. 60 trillion. Miles. 7 stars. Just 7. And how many stars are there? 10 billion, billion stars is one estimate. One estimate. You know, I talk about speed. I was reading the other day about something I wanted to share with you. If you take a hydrogen atom, the electron in it rotates around its nucleus 6,000 million million times in 1 second. That is unbelievable. That is beyond comprehension. We say these things, we read these things, after a while I just go numb. The almightiness of God. I am the God Almighty. Walk before me and be ye perfect. We have this kind of a God who can put this kind of a universe together. And then some people wonder and say, well now, how, I don't see, I have trouble believing the virgin birth. How did God make you? There's as much mystery in you being born as the virgin birth. Scientists tell us if they could compress us into a solid mass, they could put the whole 4 billion people into a thimble. If you want to put mass in space and compress it, if they could make it into a solid mass and put the whole million, all the people into a thimble. I have trouble with the virgin birth. Brother, you better have trouble with your birth. How'd you get here? Take two seeds, put them together, put them in the body of a woman, and out comes a miracle. Ah, who told the cells of the ear, now don't grow any bigger so it looks like an elephant ear on one side and a mouse ear on the other? Who told the cells when to stop growing what? Nerves so fine, they're microscopic. Who told DNA what to do and not to do? Who programmed us and gave us recipes for being human beings? I have trouble believing. Brother, look at yourself in a mirror and say, how in the world did I get here? I can think and be and see and calculate and reason. We're all miracles. There's not a thing in the Bible that's more mysterious than you or me. The mystery of it all. Fearfully and wonderfully made, the psalmist said. I have trouble believing. Brother, if you've got a mind that can think that you have trouble believing, you ought to be a believer because you've got a mind that can think that way. We stand in front of IBM machines and computers. What in the world? That's nothing. That's Mickey Mouse. Think of the brain that computed it. God made this. didn't hatch. No way. If yours did, okay. It's fantabulous. I have to. I want to know who's running the show up there. Who keeps these things all going? There's one star up there called, sounds like Beetlejuice, but it's Betelgeuse. It's 96 million miles across. That means you could take everything, including the sun. That's from here, but see, the sun's 93 million miles away. You could put one star between us, approximately, and the sun. One star. Pop it in there. One star out of a billion, billion, billions. And those are only the stars they found and calculated. I have trouble believing. Look up there. Look up there. Shut the Bible. Look up there. The Babylonians had no trouble believing the stars. They didn't have a Bible. All they needed was stars to make believers out of them. Better that a man worships a star than he worships nothing. Because if he's worshiping something, you have a current that you can push in the right direction. This is the all-powerful God. The all-powerful God. We come to the Christmas story and... Why? And I say it reverently. In the face of just these few facts that I've brushed against your intellect. And the angel appears to Mary and says, "Thou shalt be with child." And she says, "How shall this be? I do not know a man." "The power of the Lord shall rest upon you. And that which shall be born of you shall be called the Most High." The power of God. Oh, there were many that believed Mary. She's just that girl who got in trouble, you know. The power of God rested on her and conceived within her the man God, Christ Jesus. And dear one, Christmas is to happen every year to us in the sense that there should be things being born in us, created by the Holy Ghost coming on us, a new desire to please God, the Spirit of God coming on us, and that which is born of us shall be of spirit. A new discipline in prayer, a new desire to have the highest priority use of our time, a new love for our brethren, a new desire to say, "Lord, what's the vision you have for this church as you've appointed us to be in it? We want to fulfill the thing and the decree and the ordaining powers that you brought to pass that this fellowship might be." What vision? If you get God's vision, you have God's power to accomplish that vision. His plan, his power. Your plan, your power. Power. God can put his spirit upon this woman Mary and she bears the Christ child. And the Spirit of God comes upon you to create Christ in you, that you might be born of God, that you might be forgiven, that you might repent. The Spirit of God comes upon you not to conceive within you, but to convict you. And yes, to conceive within you that Christ might be formed in you, that you might bear him, Christ in us, the hope of glory. You see? The all-powerful God. Controlling angels, controlling kings, controlling wise men, bringing them out of the east, letting them follow a star. I don't care. Why? Good night. Out of billions and billions of stars, God's stars, God puts them there. He can lead one along and let these men follow it, these stargazers of old. No problem. It depends what kind of a God you have. If you have a little skimpy God that's on welfare and Medicare and kind of limping along with a crutch and saying, "I hope things hold together today," you don't have much going for you. And you don't have much of a God. I'm so glad that's not the God of the Bible. It doesn't have to be the God you have. If you have a philosophical God that lives over here in a multisyllabic worded paragraph, he can't do much for you. "Oh, thou God of philosophy, and thou God of epistemology and ontology and all the other ologies," you can have it. "Oh, thou God of the molecule, whoever you are, you're up there. Thou God of the atom, whoever you are, I worship thee, O atom. I worship my microscope, and I worship all these little experiments I see. My, oh, my." No, that won't do. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our Lord Jesus, is the Almighty One, and he sent his Son that we might see what he's like and understand him." He's the God controlling our circumstances. He controls our circumstances. When you walk with him, I was talking to Jim Martin last night. Jim, I guess I'm going to be using you from time to time for illustrations, you know. He said, you know, they won last night, and that was good, too, so I called to congratulate him and ask him for the free tickets to the next ball game. And he said, well, I lost my best defensive man. Playing practice this Tuesday and banged his knee all up and he's on crutches, don't know when he's going to get back. And best defensive man I got. But he says, you know, and I, he kind of happily surprised me. I really shouldn't have put him down. I was really happy to hear from him, Jim. And he says, but he says, you know, he says, in coaching, he said, I just claimed Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. I'd ask him, I said, how did a substitute do? Well, he says, the fella came in, got about 12 rebounds, got 8 or 10 points, and said, you know, he said, all things work together for good because if this fella comes along, the other fella gets well, then I got two good ones. Hey, that's a good outlook, right? He said, oh, pray for me, Pastor. I lost my best defensive man. Oh. Yes, sir. Amen? I love it. Yes. All right. Keep it up, Jim. 20-0 series. Ah, we had a lady down in the tabernacle. Name was Winnie Cox. And Winnie Cox was taking care of Julia Croft. And Julia Croft was a poor old soul that probably didn't know whether it was Tuesday or Friday. And just had become just about senile. And now there aren't a whole lot of people who want to run around and take care of a person like that. And people aren't just lining up at her door to see what they can do for her, you know. But we will, won't we? Yes. You overwhelm me. And Winnie Cox is getting on in years herself. And she pledged some money for missions. But she came to the end of the year, and she was $60 short of her pledge. And we never collect pledges. When we ever take pledges, we don't dun anybody. We just say it's between you and God, and work it out. If you don't pay us, you'll see him the last day anyway. Explain your problem to him. You know, I just love to hear people. I tell you, on the last day, when God starts saying, I want to see your budget. I know, I say that so many times to couples. Let me see your budget. I want to help you. I wonder what people are going to say on the last day when God says, let me see your budget, you know. Let's see, I see, clothes, car, vacations, shotguns, church, $3. lifetime. God said, would you explain that bottom line for me? Here's $198,000 here and $48,000 your wife made. What's this $3 item? Would you explain this since I happen to give it all to you? I'd just like to have a little accounting at the end. I think I earned a little bit more than that. Well, Julie owed $60 in her pledge. No, we didn't know it. And so she said, well, now, Lord, I want to do something about this $60. I pledged it in my faith. I want to be able to give it. And I think she even sold a typewriter. I'm not sure, to try and get the money. Well, she went down the street one day because Julia said, I need some stockings. Women always need stockings. So Winnie went down one night to shop for Julia, and probably Julia didn't even know whether she had stockings on or not, frankly. And down in Penny's store downtown, they had these boxes of where you sign a coupon and you too can be a winner type of thing. You know, the other day I looked at what the Reader's Digest chances were. I always get excited when it comes. You have six wonderful numbers. You ever get those? Woo! Let's go. Man, I'd swipe back in the mail the same day. You are one in Nebraska. This, whoa, we're getting closer. Then the other day, I flicked that thing over. It's amazing. It's 1 out of 10 million you're going to get anything. 1 out of 10 million. I think, is 13 cent stamp worth 1 in 10 million, you know? Well, all through the stores down the street, they had these boxes. Thousands of people putting in coupons. Little Winnie Cox puts in her coupon. Well, you had to be there to win. Some hot car, like it was like a Mustang or some really four on the floor, you know. Smitty's on it and everything, mag wheels. And I suppose if you're in the 60s, that's what you need to spice life up a little bit. When he went down, they were going to draw. It had to be there at 8 o'clock that night. Well, it was cold and you know, she got the stockings. And 8 o'clock, big crowd, all blocked off downtown Omaha for this big musical and the big platform. And we wish to announce there'll be a change of time from the drawing from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And when he said, "Oh, I'm tired, you know, should I stay or not?" So she goes into Brandeis and sits down. 9 o'clock comes. It's the crowd, 8,500 people, I think the newspapers said, are out there waiting. Sticks his hand in the box, all the boxes from all the stores, all over Omaha. thousands. The fellow sticks his hand in and says, "Winnie Cox, 2464 Harney. Here I am. She won the car. She won. Can you imagine 65 years of age going down Dodge Street? Winnie went out. She sold the car. She gave it all to missions. God could trust her with a new Mustang or whatever it was. Couldn't trust in me. I'd still be driving it. And you'd want to drive with me. Control the circumstances. What does Scripture say? The lot is cast into the lap, but the disposal thereof is of the Lord. Controls your circumstances. He'll let man be man. He'll let free will be free will. But he's overruling. He'll let men do their thing, give an account in the last day. Power in nature, power in your circumstances, power in saving you. Hey, listen, God has raw strength. You see lightning flash across the heavens. There's probably enough light there to light the whole city of Omaha for a week if you could have channeled it. You could have harnessed it. God has power. Just get in the way of an incoming tide. Get in the way. You see, there was a hurricane, or rather a gust of wind, 103 miles an hour on Colorado the other day. That is peanuts. There's a hurricane. I don't know how many of you have ever come through a hurricane. I've been through three. Back in New England, they were very frequent. They between 60 and 90 miles an hour. They blow for maybe depending about 8 hours. On Jupiter, there was this big red spot. They didn't know what it was for years. They found out when they sent up a space probe that it is a hurricane traveling 750 miles an hour, and it's been blowing that way since the 1800s. Now, if God wanted to come to you and have a wrestling match, I know who's going to get pinned. And so what does God do? When God comes to bring his power to save us, it's not brute strength. It would be grease spots. God, do you want, if you're waiting for God to hit you with a club, it's not going to happen, because if he wanted to do that, he has no difficulty. He brings truth as the means to apprehend you. He uses his power behind the words of truth to grip you, to arrest your attention. Power to save. How do you get in and vacuum clean and martinize and in at 10 and out at 2 type of thing? You can do that with garments, but how do you get inside the recesses of a human being? How do you get there when a man says to himself, his wife says, "I forgive you." He says, "I know, but I can't forgive myself." And he can't. But he will if he can see, if he repent, then God will forgive him. And if God's forgiven him, he can forgive himself. The reason some of you can't forgive yourselves is because you've got to see that God wants to forgive you first when you break and become contrite and become bankrupt before him. And when you sense the pardon of God, then you can forgive yourself because you have a basis for it. Basis for it. But how can you forgive yourself if you do not have the blood of Christ? That will be a psychological adjustment, not a spiritual fact. I suppose the nearest thing I've felt lately to a reprieve, and there are many other ways it could be, but when we drove back from Minnesota with Bethany, and we sat there and we celebrated the mercy and the goodness of God and our gratitude to our precious Father in heaven, plus the prayers of all you dear people who prayed for Bethany. I don't know how my wife felt, but we sat there and said, "We're going to celebrate." And Bethy was going to buy us the meal. We said, "No, you can buy dessert. That'll be neat." As we sat there, and we hadn't eaten all day, and we bought a little steak each. It was just neat. But I sat there, and I felt, I'm sure my wife felt the same way. I felt like a man who just received a reprieve from death row. That was my emotion. The sense of release and relief that she would not have to undergo this extensive surgery. I just felt like the weight had been lifted. Well, I'll tell you, there's something better than that. And when you know that the weight of your sins have been wiped away, oh, the devil could come and dangle any one of them before you. He could dangle a million. I don't care if he could dangle 3 million. The man who's forgiven never has to duck his sin. He doesn't have to excuse his sin. He doesn't have to deny his sin. He said, it's true, but there's something truer. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And I'm forgiven and cleansed. It's gone. I'm free. I'm forgiven. I can forgive myself and others. I'm forgiven. That's power. Nobody has that kind of power except Jesus. That's why he would not force you by coercion. He would kill you. So the power of God comes to you by just hearing truth and words to bring you to this position of repentance and faith. Oh, God has power to judge sins. Don't worry. All the power of God that keeps Arcturus in his place, all the power of God that keeps the heavenly bodies moving, all the power of God that controls a 750-mile-an-hour hurricane for 100 years whipping around Jupiter. Listen, when that God says to the sinner and grasps him like a pen and says, and now, 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 little man, was my grace nothing to you? Was my son's blood of no moment to you? Was Calvary a broken fragment of history? Was the word of God for which martyrs have died a volume of boredom to you? What was it to you? What will a little man do when he looks up into the eyes of a benevolent God who has now said, I will call to thee and give thee an account? The truth changes. The power of God is to use truth to persuade you, not arm-twisting power. Who should stay his hand? God has power to heal bodies. God has power to forgive sins. God has power, dear Christian, to change my attitude and yours today. That beginning today, we walk out of here something different. We can take out of here a commitment to an attitude and work it out. Say, Almighty God, come and work in me. I will cooperate with thee. Thy greatness and my submitted weakness. I work with thee. Use man or friend or wife or child or husband or friend or whatever. But I will not be the same person today that I was yesterday or tomorrow that I was today, for the whole of the Bible is calculated to get change in your life. From repentance to faith, and after you become a child of God, now, dear ones, how many are on the siding? How many, dear Christians, how have you moved along? What are you doing now as a Christian you didn't do 3 months ago? What attitudes are basically yours today that weren't 2 months ago? Jealousy, bitterness, self-pity, pride, arrogance. Has God broken the bones where you feel the strongest? You're only as strong as you are weak, and you're as strong as your dependence. Oh, dear ones, where have you as a Christian come along? The omnipotence of God, an illustration in science and nature to tell us, don't tell me, well, I can't break this habit. I've had trouble with this habit. No, you haven't had trouble with this habit. You've had trouble getting to know what God wants to do with you, through you, to that habit. Well, I've just had this attitude. My father always lost his temper. I lose my... I don't care, dear ones. You had to know your father in heaven better. Oh, dear one, what is it? What is it? Well, I just can't seem to get up in the morning and pray. I just can't see... You just don't want to. You just don't want to. Tell me there's something that cannot be changed in us when we have the kind of a God we've been talking about this morning. Dear ones, open up the valve of your heart. Now, if you don't open it, God can't do anything. He can help us through sorrow. He can help us through times of praying difficulties through. If you have no job, it's saying, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What attitude? We should be farther along this week than we were last week. We can be. What is my attitude? What is my outlook? Where do I need help today? What do I want changed today? And it might be something so small to the worlding outside, but so big because God's making it big to you. Let us pray. Now, God's able to help you live a godly life. You said, if you knew where I work, you wouldn't say that. And I say, I don't know where you work, but I'll tell you one thing. God's been working there long before you got the job. And God's on your job. And God's in your school, and I don't care how filthy the language is. I know it's filthy. Even Lot was vexed in his soul with the talk of the Sodomites and Gomorrites. And I'm saying this. I'm saying reach out today. I don't want you beaten down. You don't have to be eroded out by the conversation of the worldling. You don't have to be chewed away by the world's dirty jokes and language and cheating methods. I'm saying the Almighty God is your portion today. He is the Almighty God. Bring Him to bear at that point of failure and weakness. But bring Him to bear. Now, dear one, what's the next step you should take in God? Dear Christian, God has brought us this far by faith, but this is not the end of the line. What spiritual character is He developing you? The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. And gentleness, and goodness, and faith, fullness, really, and teachability, and self-control. Oh, dear Christian, the omnipotence of God. You reach out to receive Him and bring Him to bear right there with a desperate need, with a desire and a hunger and a faith that the Lord is out to make us like Himself. He's out to make this church like Himself, that we might be worthy to have other people brought in whom be helped and helped along in the way of grace. Are we worthy? Lord, make us worthy. We present ourselves. Lord, it's not a matter of who's going to preach or not preach or sing or not sing or play or not play or teach or not teach. Let every one of us say, Lord, we are Thy servants. We are here only to do what comes to our hand to do. Lord, bring us to a point where You can trust us with people who come in with hurts and needs who can be trusted to our care. Bring us along, O God. For every child of God out there, You make that Your promise. And You don't let, dear one, this service close without making that type of a commitment. I am the God Almighty. Walk before Me. Not behind Me. Not ahead of Me. Walk before Me. And be being completed, matured, and transformed. Lord Jesus, God of the stars and the sky, and God of whirlwinds and hurricanes, God of the atoms, and God of a drop of water. All things are created by Thy hand, and without Thee was not anything made that was made. We bless You. We bless You. We bring Your greatness to bear on our littleness, Your power on our weakness, Your purposes on our confusion, Your Spirit on our spirit, that we might see and hear. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall the Lord teach in the way he should choose. Lord God, touch us in our pocketbooks. Touch us in our prayer needs. May they bend. Touch us in our intellect for the Scriptures. Touch us, Lord, in our loving outreach. We don't want to go through Christmas being just a bless me club. Be with the folks at World Impact. Be with our Lindsay over in Italy. Be with Paul Finch and his wife in the student work in Italy. Be with these dear ones. Stretch forth Your hand and heal and touch. And for those who have needs this morning, who are ready to meet the omnipotent God in repentance and faith, in physical needs for the body, oh God, meet them. You will meet them. You will show Yourself strong. If anyone has a need for body, soul, or spirit, the service is through. You come right up the front. The elders here to help you. Now unto our Lord Jesus, great, glorious, born of a virgin, crucified under Pontius Pilate, buried and raised from the dead the third day, ascended to the Father's right hand, from whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Christian Church, the forgiveness of sins, life everlasting, and the Father's home above. Until then, Lord, may our armor be bright, our swords drawn, and our hearts prepared humbly, lovingly, to serve a world that has yet to know Your benign grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Will you hold steady, please, while the parents of the junior hires come here?